Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Let's just jump right into the first reading, which is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. The community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed, listen to that, no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. They had everything in common. With great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded them all. There was no needy person among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sale, and put them at the feet of the apostles, and they were distributed to each according to need. Thus Joseph, also named by the apostles Barnabas, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite, a Cypriot by birth, sold a piece of property that he owned, and then brought the money and put it at the feet of the apostles for the spreading of the gospel and to bring salvation to many people. We get a basket passed around at church to cover expenses, and sometimes we have a particular donation that's requested. Brothers and sisters, does it lead to having one mind and one heart? Does it lead to paying more attention to my brothers and sisters of whatever grouping are in difficulty? When I pray for this and when I donate to the support of the church, am I just doing the minimum, or am I saying, what can my parish do to reach out more to some grouping of people or to offer something within the parish that will bring life to more? Am I ready really to support my church for the spread of the gospel? We're not talking about a building structure, though it includes that, but that's not the point. The point is, what do we need to reach our brothers and sisters who do not yet know the power of the gospel? Think about that. Look at the money that you give to the church. Are you giving out of a right spirit? Are you giving adequately? Even if your best is a dollar, if that's the best you can do, that's fine. If you're giving it with a whole heart and a whole spirit, that's fine. The amount is not my main point. My main point is, with what spirit do you give? Because it can make all the difference in a parish where there is peace and joy. Believe me, these gifts began to manifest themselves when we offer things for the right reason, when we make offerings, when we make donations for the right reasons. The Holy Spirit hovers there. And we reap the fruit right within the parish. Have you experienced it? Maybe you need to take a look at, what am I giving and why am I giving? This is not my intent in this talk to speak so much about monetary gifts, but about a spirit of giving, of yourself, of your gifts, of your talents, and yes, of your money. But are you really giving yourself for the salvation of others and for the building of the kingdom? Psalm 93, the Lord is king. He is robed in majesty. Listen to this one verse. Your decrees are worthy of trust indeed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, for length of days. In other words, we need to be growing. If you're not growing, you're going backwards. Open your heart as a disciple of Jesus Christ and ask him, what can I do to glorify our Father in heaven? What can I do to help those people around me? And remember, I'm not talking just about monetary donations. That's separate. But what way can I give myself to help or to support or to build up a situation in my parish? Let's take a look at the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 7 to 15. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born from above. The wind blows where it will, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can this happen?" Jesus answered and said to him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and you do not know this? Amen, amen, I say to you, we speak of what we know, we testify to what we have seen, but you people do not accept our testimony. If I tell you about earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." We've just celebrated the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is your life different because of what he has done for us? Is your life different? Do you see things differently? Are your priorities in line with the gospel? Are your relationships in line with the gospel? Is your work in line with the gospel? Brothers and sisters, if you say you're a disciple, if you say you're a disciple, and yet you don't practice what Scripture tells us and what Jesus taught us, and what the New Testament reveals to us. Do you read the Scriptures every day? Do you know what the Scripture teaches? You do in a certain level, but how often do you read? Take the Gospel of John, for example, or perhaps start with the Gospel of Matthew and just read it slowly. Don't get discouraged. Just read it slowly and see where is it that I'm not following the Lord. Because, brothers and sisters, you and I are one day going to come to the last day of our life here on this earth. That's going to come to every single one of us, our last day of life on this earth. God is merciful, yes. But, brothers and sisters, we're given this time on earth to receive what God has taught us and to apply our will, our mind, our heart, and then our body to following what he's asked of us. I hear people say, "Oh yeah, well, yeah, if you want to believe that, that's okay. That's your prerogative. You can decide what you want to believe, but I don't believe it." That person who says something like that has no idea what it really means to read the Word of God. Do you know this Word is alive? Do you know that? This Word has power to change you? Where are you in your life of faith? Are you applying your life of faith to your daily life? Or do you just set aside Sunday or maybe Saturday night for Mass and that's your, you know, I've done my obligation, Sunday obligation, and that's it. And therefore, I'm a good person. Oh, brothers and sisters, the Lord so longs to take his sons and daughters and bring them before the Father and ask the Father to bless us. And he gives us of his Holy Spirit so that we might know the will of God and that we might have the grace and the strength to carry it out. And he died for us. Your life is infinitely important to God, so much so that if you were the only person he created, he would have sent his son to die for you. If you were the only person on the face of the earth, God didn't do it that way. Praise God. But you are infinitely loved. And I want you to hear me. Whatever the world thinks of you, on a certain level, whatever the world thinks of you, you don't have to worry about. What matters is, what does God think of me? And all God looks for is a desire to know the truth, that he sees in you a desire to follow him more closely, that he sees in you a willingness to try to move closer to God by prayer, by reading of Scripture, by the sacrifice of the Mass, by receiving the Eucharist. They're all, God has handed his very own life down to you so that you might have eternal life with him. Eternal, endless joy, endless happiness, endless peace. Brothers and sisters, it's not a fairy tale. It isn't. It's reality. It's what is most real, is God and his creation. That's what's most real, and it will live forever. So I beg you, I prayed for you during Lent that you would give your life more fully to the Lord. But I want to say it again today. Here we are, very, very shortly after Easter Sunday. Are you, am I, listening to the Lord, seeking his face, asking him to help us, that each of us might draw closer to him? In fact, I think what I want to do is just take the last minute or two of this program to pray for you. Father, we gather here before you because you're everywhere, and you know us right now. You know right where we are right now. You know us in the various countries as we pray here together, nationalities, backgrounds, upbringing. You know each one of us. Father, we come before you today in the love of Jesus Christ, and we ask in confidence for your mercy, that you would take us poor, weak, sinful creatures, though we are, who've tried to do good and have fallen back again and again and again. But we come to you today and we ask you, would you please give our hearts a desire to know you and to love you and to serve you? Would you give us the desire to belong to you more fully? Would you give us a heart of love, a heart that will reach out to you and then to others? Will you give us generosity of spirit? Will you draw us closer to yourself? We know, Lord, that that's what you want. And so we come to you and we say, please, Lord, please hear my prayer. Draw me closer to you. Help my life to be more and more conformed to you. I promise you that I will give you time each day to listen to your voice, and I will follow you wherever you lead, for the greater glory and honor of the Father, and for our salvation. Amen. May God be praised. To order my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, call 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.